I want to greet you this morning in the wonderful name of our Lord and the Savior, Jesus Christ. I trust that you had a very good week and is looking forward to a blessed day in your various places of worship. Let me first and foremost thank the management of the Federal Motor Spirits for their generosity over the years, for the assistance they have given to us over the years. At the denomination Church of the Nazarene, we are so grateful to them, especially this Because He Lives program. I'm sure that there are lots of persons who are the beneficiary of this program, and we really cannot take the support that has been given to us from the Aline family for granted. My sincere hope is that they continue to be blessed, and the business that they have had for so many years, that God will continue to prosper them. I am the Reverend Samuel Elcock, the chairman of the Eversley Foundation, and it's a joy for me to be with you. Over the last few weeks, the foundation has been featured, and I'm sure many of you may have been asking yourself, why is it that the foundation is on, or why is it that we are focusing on the foundation for so many weeks? I will share with you from my perspective in a very short while. So it's good to be with you this morning. I sincerely hope that as we share with you today, that you will be blessed and the information shared with you will be extremely meaningful. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness towards us. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your faithfulness. We just want to thank you for being who you are. And today, as we share with those across the hearing of my voice, that they too would also understand the goodness of God. And even though our focus is on the Eversley Foundation, that more importantly, people will focus their attention on the Lord Jesus Christ. So we give you honor, we give you glory, and we give you praise this morning for your goodness toward us in Jesus' name. For just a few moments, I want to share with you from the Word of God, which is found in the book of Philippians chapter 1. And I'm going to be sharing briefly with you from verse 21 for you Bible students. I'm sure you can repeat this from heart. Here the Apostle Paul is saying, "For me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." This is a portion of Scripture that has been used so very often. And I believe that if we were to take the time off to really pay attention to what the Apostle Paul is saying, it speaks to us of a man who would have gone through several hardships. The Apostle Paul, on numerous occasions, would have had to be running for his life. A lot of attention has always been placed on Paul's life prior to his conversion. But if we were to really examine Paul's life after his conversion, you will notice that the same enthusiasm, the same interest that he would have exercised while he was not converted, Paul now exercises that same excitement, that same enthusiasm as it comes to the things of God. That is why he could have boldly said, "Who should separate me from the love of Christ?" Because he's now come to a place where he understands who God is and the way that God has been to him. So here in the book of Philippians, Paul has come to an understanding of who God is, and he seemed to be differentiating between life and death. And he speaks very personally. personal pronoun I. So Paul is saying that as far as he is concerned, when it comes to the whole concept of living, he considers himself to be living for Christ and to be living in Christ, because Christ is living within him. Sometimes we are not cognizant of the fact that we are living for some reason, some person, something. There's something in our mind that causes us to want to live. I've heard persons said very often, I'm living for my children. I'm living to make sure that, you know, they reach the age of maturity. I'm living because I really don't want to go on and leave my children at such a tender age that they cannot deal with themselves. Some persons are living because they've got businesses. Some persons are living because of their wife. But there is something that motivates us. There's some motivating factor, something that says to us when it comes to death and life, I am living for a particular reason. Even though there are times when it would seem to us as though there are persons who do not have a purpose for living, the way they go through their lives seem to be so empty, so aimless. But not so with Paul. The apostle is saying, as far as he, Paul, was concerned, life is really in Christ. For me to live is Christ. So every day of Paul's life, when he got up in the morning, all that was on his mind is living for Christ. All that Paul was now concerned about is having his life totally surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. And why did Paul say this to the church at Philippi? When Paul examined his life prior to conversion, being taught by a Jewish rabbi, Gamaliel, he was top of the class. The apostle Paul was an extremely intelligent man. He knew the law. He boasted about the fact that he understood the law. He boasted about his circumcision. Well, after having a contact with the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul says that those things that he would have been taught prior to his conversion, he considered it to be all dung. And when he examined the life before conversion and the life now that he would have been converted, Paul concludes the best life an individual can ever live is a life that is lived for the Lord Jesus Christ. He was not confused. He was assured of what he was seeing. He was assured of who God is. And so therefore, he made those comments not because he would have wanted something to have said. But Paul made those comments because when he took a critical analysis of the person he was before and the person he now was, he realized that having surrendered his life to Christ and what took place in his life, Paul is now concluding this life in Christ is the better life. This life in Christ is the one thing that satisfied that longing and that desire I always would have had. Paul must have been saying to himself that the church that I was fundamentally opposed to, the church has now given me life. The life in Christ has come through the fact that I have got a personal relationship with Christ. I've got a better understanding of who God is. And so therefore, I want to share with others the difference between living in Christ and dying not knowing Christ. Paul did not only say to live is Christ. He made a fundamental statement when he said, and even if I die, I am still alive. I still gain. So Paul is saying, whether he is living or whether he has died, he is still in Christ. Paul is saying that there's nothing to lose when a person's life has been given to Christ. I remember Job asking the question, if a man die, will he live again? Certainly he would. The same man, Job, made a very profound statement when he made it extremely clear that he is not prepared to run the risk of losing his life in Christ because of what he may have achieved. Paul, like Job, understood who God is. And so therefore they were prepared not to ever give up that hope in Christ. If you do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior today, you can join with the Apostle Paul and say to yourself, based on your experience in Christ, that to live is Christ and to die is still Christ, because Paul was not prepared to give up anything for the gospel. And so therefore today, when we examine our own lives and when we examine all that God has done for us, you and I, we've both got to ask ourselves the question, what am I prepared to give up to serve Christ? Is the life I'm living for Christ and in Christ worth living? I'm sure you will agree with me, it certainly does. So this morning, as we continue to trust God, I want for all of us to live the kind of life that, like the Apostle Paul, we can say, if I'm living, I'm in Christ. And if I die, I am in Christ, because there is absolutely nothing to lose when we are serving Christ. So keep on trusting, keep on serving, and make sure that your life is hid in Christ, so that when he calls you, you will know that you have got a life after death in Christ. With me this morning are two beautiful ladies, Pastor Rowena Taylor. Of course, you know her as the district secretary, also a member of the Church of the Nazarene at Bank Hall. And I've also got with me Sister Marvel Britton, known to most of us as Sister Betty. Both of these ladies are members of the Board of Management of the Aversi Foundation, and honestly, would dare say that Sister Betty is my right hand and my left hand, even though I know that her days are not the easiest. I'm really appreciative of the fact that she's given 100% and over to the foundation. Sister Marina and the other board of directors, they have always been a part of the foundation in terms of giving of their service, and we don't want to take their sacrifice for granted. There are those who could not have attended this program this morning for various reasons, but I'm sure that they would love to have been here. So we thank God for Pastor Marina and Sister Marvel Britton, who will share with us this morning some very important information as it relates to the foundation. Before we get to them, some persons may be asking themselves the question, why is it that every Sunday morning, the Aversi Foundation? Two things. One, the district superintendent has thought it necessary to allow us to use this month of October for the Aversi Foundation. And secondly, very quickly, Dr. Margaret and Schofield Aversi deserves this, and to my mind, even more. Because too very often, too many of our ministers, along with their persons, have really worked hard in the church. And they are just to me as though they have been forgotten. There are persons who have died and gone on, and nobody remembers their names. There are persons who are still living and nobody remembers their name. And I want to honestly, as a pastor in the church for about 36 years, say sometimes as a pastor, you feel as though, you know, you are just on the sideline. So for those of you who may be asking your question, what about the foundation every Sunday morning, I want for you to understand the hard work and the labor that ministers put into their ministry along with other lay people. And I wish to God sincerely that, you know, persons would appreciate such hard work and do not take the men and women that God has placed as your shepherd, do not take them for granted. Hence, that is why I am so passionate about the Aversi Foundation, because I know they have done tremendously well. They've worked hard, and the Church of the Nazarene needs to recognize them as we are. So we trust that you understand why the foundation and that you pledge your support to the foundation. I'm going to ask the secretary of the foundation, Sister Marvel Britton, to share with us as it relates to the concert And she's going to share with you some information about the concert that is coming up very shortly. So, Sister Marva, just share with those persons who are online information that you have as it relates to the concert that comes off very shortly.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Reverend Elcock. Now, we didn't have any activities for the past 2 years because of COVID, but the foundation wants to get back out there and do its community work. We have been doing community work, but you won't see it in a newspaper. Whatever we are doing, we do it quietly, but we do it for the honor and glory of God. Now, this year, on the 30th of October, which is next week, Sunday, from 5 until 7 p.m., we're having a concert. Featured in this concert will be the band of the Barbados Police Service, one of the best bands you can find anywhere in the world, if not the best. And we're going to be treated to an evening of extremely interesting and exciting music. Now, the concert will be held at the Western Light Church of the Nazarene, Oxnard, St. James. It begins at 5 o'clock and it goes to 7 o'clock, 5 until 7. Our tickets are the most reasonable ones you will find any part of Barbados this time of the year. Our adult tickets are $25 and our children's tickets are $15. Children 12 years and under will pay $15. If you're above 12, you pay $25. And you are going to get more than your money's worth. This plans to be a really exciting evening of worship. And the band, I am sure you know, is a very versatile band. So you will not be disappointed. Now, if you need tickets, you can call our district office and the secretary will give you information as to how you can collect tickets. Or if you need to pay at the door, you can do this as well. But we would prefer you to get a ticket because you don't want to come and then you cannot get in. We would not want that to happen. But you can pay at the door if it's not possible for you to get a ticket. So remember, Sunday, 30th of October, 5 to 7, concert by the band of the Barbados Police Service. And I'm to let you know that whatever money is collected, whatever contributions are made, none of it goes to the Eversleys. They do not see it. We use this money to complete our community work. We've been doing a lot of work in the community, as I said before, and we want to continue our work. So we would appreciate if you would help us make this a possibility.
All right, thank you, Sister Britton. Now, generally speaking, at concerts, you know, sometimes there's a break so that persons can go outside a limited bit or maybe go and purchase a drink. What's going to happen at that time? Is there going to be a break from the band or are we going to have an opportunity where persons can go and buy things to eat?
No, we would prefer not to have anything that evening. Because it's Sunday, you would have had a really delicious Sunday meal. And it's only 2 hours you'll be out. What we're going to do, as the band has asked, they are going to play straight through. 1 hour and 45 minutes, they will give us beautiful music. When you're finished, you're free to go then, and when you get back home, eat to your delight. But we will not be having any intermission. We will not be serving any snacks. And we have a number of interesting door prizes as well. So when you come, I'm hoping that you'll be a fortunate one to get one of these door prizes.
Thank you very much, Sister Betty. And I sincerely wish you luck with the door prizes because I'm not one of those persons who would usually win anything. I think it is important for us, since Sister Britton would have made mention of the office where Pastor Marina worked in Eagle Hall, to share with you the number you may be interested in calling to find out where the location and if she's there in the office at the time. So please feel free to call 435-4444. 435-4444. That's the number to the district office where you would find Pastor Marina. If you want to call the secretary of the foundation. You can call Sister Betty at 432-2332. If you want to call me as chairman, you can reach me at 230-1133. The mobile for Sister Betty is 235-5546. I hope that you remember those numbers. Like I said to you before, with me as well is Pastor Marina, who would have been associated with the Evergreens for a number of years. I'm sure that there were her pastors at some point in time. She would have worked with Dr. Eversley while she was district superintendent. And so therefore, Sister Maureen is going to share with you her thoughts on the Eversleys as she would have known them. I'm sure that there are lots of us on this Barbados district who would have worked with the Eversleys, but of course, all of us will not have the opportunity this time to share. But Sister Maureen is going to share with us at this time.
Good morning to those of you in Radio Land. Again, it's a pleasure and a privilege to share with you concerning the Eversleys. One of the things I can say about Scofield Eversley is that I know he is a people's person. He loves people. He also loves to see people excel and do extremely well. And one of the other things that stands out as far as he's concerned is that if you come to him with a situation and he is not able to assist you or to solve whatever it is, he always seeks to find someone who will be able to help as well. When it comes to Sister Eversley, I remember her as one of the persons in our church at Bank Hall who was very involved in Sunday school. She's a school teacher by profession, or she was, yeah, she has retired. And her class was blooming with young people. And she was always involved with Sunday school and the youth department as well. And whenever we have our Christmas program, she would be right there with the plays and practicing the children and doing so. She was very involved in her husband's ministry and also in whatever other ministries areas of the church that she would be needed. So when it comes to our prayer time, that's one of the things Reverend Eversley and Sister Eversley both love to pray, and the prayer ministry of our church was blooming. And as a result of this, our church at Bank Hall grew tremendously, and it grew beyond our space that we had to extend our building to be able to accommodate the people. And I believe it's all because of the warmth and the love and concern that he showed to people and the many innovative programs that he would have brought on the table that would, you know, draw people close to him. But also he has a soft spot in his heart where he doesn't just make high-handed decisions. And I can recall being on the church board with him once when there was a situation and he called the board together, and it was a really delicate situation. And I saw that man bowed his head in tears because he didn't want to make a decision that would offend or hurt the individuals that were involved. And you don't really see that with all of our leaders. You know, they think I'm a leader and therefore they just make a decision. But I think that really made me understand the type of person he was. Somebody who is not just self-serving, but somebody who thought of other people and placed other people maybe before himself. Then when it came to him being at district office as superintendent, again, those same qualities came through at the office where he also showed love and compassion for persons as people would come to the office. I observed how he worked with his pastors, how he shared. He never tried to keep everything to himself, but he made, you know, them know what he was thinking, and even with the district departments, how he shared with them at their meetings and what have you. And I think that he wanted to see the district go forward. If it's one thing I believe he has not felt happy about is the whole idea of the vision that he had for the district that never really materialized. And as a leader, I know sometimes your heart breaks when you have a good mind and you want to see things happen. And there are those who are with you who do not seem to have that vision and that passion. And therefore, because you are not the one in charge totally, therefore you have to work with them. So that's what I would want to say without going into too much detail. A question was asked, why do you think we should support the foundation? I believe persons should support the foundation because of the purpose of the foundation, and that is to render assistance to various community-based initiatives. And just to give you an example of a few, we were able to make a presentation to the in-law school library. Then we made another presentation to one of our churches which needed help with their sound equipment. We assisted our camp center with some beds and a financial contribution to our college in Trinidad. That's just to share a few. Therefore, with the foundation's activities, the funds received will be used to assist wherever it is needed. And the heart of compassion which Jesus has given to the Eversleys will be displayed in a tangible way to those in need. Your gifts will go a long way in helping the Eversley Foundation to help others and realize their objective. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so very much, Pastor Taylor, for sharing with us what the foundation has done so far, because I'm sure some of you may be asking the question, what happens to the funds that are raised in the foundation? Pastor Marina has highlighted some of the things, at least, were done. I remember distinctly that the camp center, we made a contribution to the camp center, and one of our day nurseries, we also made a contribution to that day nursery as well. So the foundation has been doing quite a bit of work. We don't have the time right now to go through into all of what would have transpired, but we thought we should share with you some of the things that were already done in the foundation since it would have started. The time is getting away from us so very quickly, and I just want to encourage you to be at the concert. We are really anticipating a good time. We really want to continue our work in the district. We really want to promote the foundation, and we really want to know that doctors in Margaret and Scorpion Eversley, even though it is their time, we want them to know how much we appreciate them. And like I said before, it is really heartbreaking at times to know that some of our ministers and our lay people, you know, they have just seemingly been forgotten. I think this has to be corrected, and we are going to pray with the grace of God to have that done. So again, thank you so very much for being a part of the program this morning. We look forward to seeing you at the concert, and I hope that God blesses you and that you will have a wonderful day as you worship Him in spirit and in truth. Father, we give your name honor, we give your name glory, and we give your name praise. We thank you for the time spent in your presence, and we ask that you will continue to bless us and our families in Jesus' name. Amen. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, my life is worth the living just because He lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, my life is worth the living just because.